suppose Jesus had so much to say about money and possessions? Hi, I'm Rob West. Our Lord and Savior knew that how we handle money can reveal our spiritual priorities. Every financial decision has a spiritual component, which can even be true of our investing. Bob Dahl joins us today to answer the question, why should we strive for faith-based money management? And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Bob Dahl is no stranger to the program. Each Monday, he gives his market insights for the week. He's, of course, CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, a new underwriter of the program. And Bob, it's great to have you back with us.
Great to be here as always, Rob.
Bob, Crossmark Global is playing a really important role in the faith-based investing movement. I wanted you to start by just sharing a little bit about the company and its mission.
Well, as you know, the faith-based money management business is small. There are not that many players. Yeah. We're privileged to be one of them. We're a faith-based money manager dedicated to help people line up their investments with their faith and or their values, which are usually one and the same, with an important caveat that we've got to give them good investment performance. So we want people to be able to do that and feel good about it. Part of it's the education process. It's the central focus of our business, and we offer a wide variety of screened and unscreened products for our advisors and their clients.
So seeking appropriate risk-adjusted returns and aligning your values with your investment sounds like a great opportunity for God's people. Let's dive into some of those specific solutions, Bob, that I know fit into two big categories, the steward funds and then what we call separately managed accounts. Explain those.
The steward funds are the mutual funds made by Crossmark. We have nine of them that span the big broad categories in stocks and bonds. And in those, we employ our best attempt to take what God's word says about things we should avoid and things that are good to reward that side of it. So our mutual funds are the entree for lots of people to what's Crossmark. We also have separately managed accounts, where people of certain means can come to us and say, you know, I'm against this. Could you exclude that as well as the other things you're excluding? Or please don't exclude this thing over here. Yeah. And we even have some unscreened money where people say, no, just manage your money and beat the benchmark. So we can address lots of different needs through the SMAs.
Yeah, it can get really creative and customized for the needs of your investors. Bob, you recently wrote a great white paper addressing the question, why faith-based money management? And you start out with a definition, which I think is important because it could mean different things to different people. So define that for us, faith-based money management.
Well, as you know, God's word, the Bible, provides amazing amounts of wisdom and instruction for Christians, both theologically and practically, about how to invest. Yeah. And I would argue, and I know you do too, that investing is just one part of life. All of our life should be lined up with God's word. Yeah. And it's really a matter of holiness and the whole process of becoming more Christ-like. A definition of faith-based or biblically responsible investing, as a lot of people call it, taking from the Christian investment form, goes like this. Let me quote. An investment decision-making process that applies Christian values to issues facing shareholders and stakeholders regarding moral and social principles. This process, coupled with traditional financial analysis, provides a platform for investment decisions that allow us to be faithful stewards of God's gifts and respect the foundational beliefs of our shared Christian faith. That's a lot of words, but I think it really does tell the story. There are many terms, as we just said, that fit that. Faith-based, ethical, biblically responsible. The meaning of these often overlap, but may come across differently depending on who the investor is and what their demographic looks like.
That's really helpful, Bob, and it's something we're going to continue to unpack just around the corner. Bob Dahl here today. Bob is CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. They're an underwriter of this program, and when we come back, what about values alignment in your investments? What about positive screening? It's more than just kicking out the bad guys. What does that look like, and how does this apply to you and your investments? Bob Dahl with us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It's easy, we often say, to talk the talk, but it's harder to walk the walk. Is it true of Christians? Of course it is. It's one thing to identify as a follower of Jesus, but it's much harder to live like it. And what does that look like? The book of 2 John boils it down to one word, love. John tells us, as you have heard from the beginning, Christ's command is that you walk in love. And when we walk in love, we reflect Christ's heart and show the world that the power of the gospel changes lives. So let's do both. Let's walk the walk and talk the talk with our eyes fixed on Jesus. And we'll grow in our walks with Jesus through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it
is
a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. With me today, my good friend Bob Dahl. He's no stranger to this program. He joins us each Monday with his market commentary for the week. Bob is CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, an underwriter of this program. And I'm so thankful to do a deeper dive so that you can connect what Bob shares on Mondays around the markets and the economy with the actual solutions that you can invest in to align your values with your investments. And Bob, you were explaining a definition of biblical money management before the break, and you used a term values-based. And I'd love for you just to do a deeper dive into what it looks like to align our values with our investments.
Right. We want to make our values God's values. And we can start with the Bible. If you count the words of Jesus in the red letter New Testament you might have, you'll count more verses on money and possessions than heaven and hell combined. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Reason, of course, is he knows that our attitude toward money, not just the money we have, but how we earn it, what we do with it, invest it, spend it, how we give it away, says a lot about our hearts and our faith. So money and faith are interrelated, and they are warp and woof of a Christian walk. Another way to look at it is to say there's nothing wrong with earning lots of money or having a lot or having a little, but it must not come at the expense of the holiness of life and our spiritual development, discipleship process, if you will. Therefore, it's really important that faith-based investors consider, can I say, the moral implications of their investments. If we really are followers of God's word, we got to go there. So we know Christians are intentionally investing billions of dollars to support God's principles, but how are they approaching it? That's what values-based gets at. Aligning our money and our practices with biblical values is for God's glory and, at the end of the day, our joy.
Yeah, and I know our goal is really well done, good and faithful servant that we read in Matthew 25. So how do we know, Bob, if we're on a path to hear those words, and perhaps how can we evaluate what we're doing in this area?
Well, there are lots of people that can help. Christian financial advisors can help us there. I love Randy Alcorn's work in this whole area. And he says, the biggest obstacle is to think that the money and possessions we have are actually ours. When we realize they're not ours, they're really God's. In fact, everything we have, our minds, our bodies, our time, our relationships, they're all God's. And if we look at it that way, it gets a whole lot easier to do these things. One of the things I do on occasion on this test for people is to pretend it's Saturday afternoon. Nobody else is home. There's a knock on the door, and it's Jesus. Bob, can we look at your checkbook? And parenthetically, can we look at your calendar? How we spend our time and money says a lot about our hearts. And how would you feel if the Lord showed up and knocked on your door? Would that be a good hour session, or would you be embarrassed? If you feel good about it, you're probably on the right track.
Yeah, I think that's well said. But I think for so long, we've really thought about that question that you just posed about Jesus coming to the door around, are we falling into materialism? Are we spending too much in the selfish pursuit of indulgence? Are we giving enough? And we've not really thought about that in light of our investments, and for good reason, because I think a lot of these investments, like what you have at Crossmark, are somewhat new to the scene. And yet we're seeing a lot of Christians jumping on board. So describe the approach that you take, both the screening out, which has been the focus, and the positive screens we can bring into this conversation.
I'm glad you brought up both sides. It's not just what are we against, but what are we for? Yeah. So the exclusions, every firm that's in this business approaches it a little differently. For us, it's revenues-based. How does the company earn their revenues? And if it's things that are questionable, cigarettes, tobacco, abortions, you know, those things we don't want any parts of, and we think our clients do either. We've got a list. Yeah. Some of them have thresholds, 2% of revenue, 10% of revenue. So there's a practical element of this as well. That's the exclusionary side, which, again, has been around for a while. The more interesting and newer side is the positive side. I think Eventide Asset Management in Boston has done a great job pioneering this work. And we have spent a lot of time at Crossmark designing the same sort of, how does a company treat its employees, its suppliers, its customers, its community, the environment that they're in. These things are all objective and measurable, and they get points in our values scorecard when they're doing well there, and don't get points if they're not. So we want to own companies that have all the good, can I say, Rob, secular positives, good cash flow, reasonable price stock, good strategic planning, but also is doing good in advancing the kingdom here on this planet.
Yeah, boy, that's compelling. Bob, obviously, when we talk about investments, we want to get a return on our investment, and that's very appropriate. You conclude your paper that we are looking at here today by saying that some financial advisors may wrongly assume that faith-based investing results in financial sacrifice. You have to give up something in the form of return in order to do this. Will you comment on faith-based investing and performance?
Absolutely. I'll start with the way we pay our portfolio managers. It's how they're doing versus the entire universe of investors in that category. So if you actually had to give something up, our PMs wouldn't get paid. There are lots now studies, empirical studies done by places like the Wharton School of Business, Oxford University, Biola University, and other leading institutions that have empirically tested biblically based versus secular investments. And the good news is we don't give anything up. So you can line up your portfolios, not just for the next life, but for this life as well, and do amazing things when it comes to returns.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell you, that's well said, Bob. And it's a great opportunity that folks may have missed and not realize that they could have the values alignment and even own companies that are blessing their neighbor and thinking about the impact on their shareholders and providing compelling returns. Now, what if they go to their advisor and their advisor says, I don't think you want to do that? How would you counsel them?
I would counsel them to find a different advisor. Yeah. God is asking us to line up our entire life, including our finances, with who he is and with his word. And so someone that wants to dismiss that, I think, is probably not the right person to be your advisor. There are kingdom-minded advisors, the CKA program that we talk about all the time. You can find advisors that can that know this part of the world, have other clients that are invested this way, and it's a joy.
Excellent. Bob, unfortunately, we're out of time, but great work. We're grateful for your active involvement in this program each Monday, and we appreciate your time today.
It's been a blessing. Thank you.
That's Bob Dahl, CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com, crossmarkglobal.com. While you're there, sign up for Bob's weekly investment commentary, Dahl's Deliberations. You can invest directly in the funds at crossmarkglobal.com, or you can find a CKA specifically in the area of faith-based investments at faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional. Back with your questions after this, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Hi, I'm Riley Wellman, director of the AFA Foundation. One of my main things that I like to do is visit with our supporters, whether it's traveling or just on the phone. We just love to meet with people, and if they have a complicated situation, we would love to sit down and talk with them. You can visit us at afafoundation.net or give us a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. What a treat to have Bob Dahl along with us today. Well, the market is soaring today. The Dow Jones up 1,300 points to a brand new record. The Russell 2000 jumps 4%. All of this as President Trump is elected the 47th president here in the United States, and the market is responding incredibly positively. Jerry Boyer will stop by in our final segment today to react to all of it and tell us what this decisive win might mean for our economy, if in fact the Republicans take the House, and that's still to be determined, along with the Senate and the presidency. That means the agenda on top of the mandate from voters with the popular vote in hand means the Republican agenda, President Trump's agenda for the economy, will have very little resistance. What does all of that mean for our economy and where we might be headed? Plus your stock portfolio. Jerry will weigh in on all of that straight ahead. But between now and then, we'd love to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to tackle whatever you're wrestling with in your financial life. So the number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Just a quick overall update. I mentioned, of course, Donald J. Trump elected the 47th president. News organizations began reporting the victory in the early morning hours. His opponent, Vice President Kamala Harris, has not yet conceded the race, but is expected to later today. On the financial side, we're seeing a lot of positive strength, but it does remain to be seen how the market will continue to play out through the rest of the day. All right, let's jump into some of these phone calls here. We'll begin in Texas. Earl, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Rob, thank you for your ministry. I'd like some information on an investment called Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Its value is supposed to be increasing exponentially compared to stocks and other investments.
Yeah. So Bitcoin is probably one of the most popular of the cryptocurrencies. You know, it meets all of the criteria for a currency that, you know, it has a limited quantity. It's a store of value. It, you know, has done incredibly well in the sense that, you know, if you look at the return over the last 5 years, it's up about 700%, quite a bit less than that just in the last 3 years. A lot of that was in those, you know, the first 2 years of that 5 year period. But nevertheless, it is soaring. And alongside gold with the market, you know, is continuing to do very well. I would put it, though, Earl, in the most speculative risk category. Does that mean you shouldn't own it? No, I don't think so. But I would say for the average investor, that speculative portion of your portfolio, I would say should not be more than 10%. And even then, that's for somebody who has, you know, is well on their way to having what they need in terms of investable assets. You know, they're, you know, not playing catch up. I mean, this is, you know, not for the faint of heart just because of the volatility that you will see in an investment like a crypto, including Bitcoin. Cryptocurrencies, I think, are here to stay. Blockchain technology, which is the technology behind it, is here to stay and has far-reaching implications for a variety of sectors, even beyond the financial sector into healthcare and, of course, technology and a host of other you know, industries. It's because it's decentralized. It's because it can be anonymous. And, you know, it has far-reaching implications. So that's not going anywhere. We're going to continue to see more and more of it. The question is it appropriate for you, with your risk tolerance goals and objectives, to add a speculative investment like Bitcoin, a cryptocurrency, to your overall portfolio? And I would just say, again, don't get enamored by the incredible return, which we can't argue with. It's there over the last 5 years just because of the inherent volatility in this asset class. And so, again, I would say first checkpoint is, am I kind of well on my way to what I need? If not, if you consider yourself kind of behind in what you're trying to amass for the future, then I would say just go ahead and eliminate it. But if you're on track and you're willing to stomach some volatility, I would, again, keep that truly speculative portion of your portfolio to 10% or less. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. It kind of sounded like a scam to me in the first place.
Yeah, well, another rule of thumb I like to implore is, you know, if I can't explain it, I certainly don't invest in it. And, you know, I think that would probably be the case here, you know, with something you don't truly understand, you probably want to stay away from it. Basically, kind of the backstory on it is Bitcoin entered the scene to kick off the crypto area in 2008 as a result of an anonymous white paper that outlined this new digital currency. The vision was, which continues today, a peer-to-peer currency outside of any government control. Now, somewhat amazingly, this whole white paper was only 9 pages long. You can download it and read it. Anyone can. But the idea captured the imagination of millions of people. And so besides being decentralized and outside of government control, it checks those boxes I mentioned of functional money: durability, portability, scarcity, divisibility. There's two others beyond that. And importantly, and by the way, in direct contrast to the inflationary monetary policies we're seeing around the world today, Bitcoin was designed from the beginning to be what's called sound money. Because unlike government currencies, which are constantly being devalued by the expansion of the money supply, what we call printing more money, which there's not really any printing presses, but you get the idea. With Bitcoin, there's a fixed cap of 21 million Bitcoins that can never be produced. There will never be any more. So it has a lot of the same sound money appeals that have attracted people to gold. And it's often described as digital gold for that reason. And so, you know, I think there's something to be said about it. I think especially in light of the results of the election last night, with President Trump being an advocate for crypto, even though he has been very clear that we should not have a central bank digital currency, a CBDC. He is positive on crypto as an offering and as being available alongside a traditional dollar. I think they're here to stay. But again, if you can't explain it, you don't want that speculative portion of your portfolio, stay away. If you do, definitely don't go over 10%. 5% would probably be better. Hey, Earl, I hope that helps, my friend. Thanks for your call today. Folks, back with more after this. Stay with us.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Every day, we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today. I'm Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, folks, let me invite you to be a partner of ours here at FaithFi. Our FaithFi partners give $35 a month or more. They give perhaps over $400 a year if they want to make a one-time gift. And as a FaithFi partner, they're a part of our family. Now, all of you listening are a part of our family, but as a listener-supported ministry, our partners help us bring this program to you every day and equip God's people to be wise and faithful stewards. And as a way of saying thank you, our partners receive all of our studies and devotions pre-release. So before they're released to the public, you'll get a copy at your door, like our brand new 21-day devotion, Look at the Sparrows on Financial Fear, and our new study coming out in the first quarter of next year on the book of Ecclesiastes, and all the studies and devotions that will follow in 2025. You'll also receive quarterly our brand new printed publication, a beautiful 48-page digest called Faithful Steward that is going to be chock full of articles to equip you and encourage you in your stewardship journey. I'm looking at the proof right now of the very first edition. It's going to be gorgeous. The articles are thoughtful, and I think it's going to be something you look forward to every quarter. And again, that will arrive at your door if you become a FaithFi partner. So if you'd consider a gift right now, just head to faithfi.com and click give, and we'd love to add you to the list. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. By the way, Jerry Boyer coming up in the next segment. Jerry will weigh in on this incredible strength we're seeing in the market on the heels of President Trump's win last night. The Dow Jones still up more than 3%, 1,300 points on the big board today. Jerry will weigh in on all of that straight ahead. In the meantime, let's head back to the phones to Georgia. Hi, Marlon. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was trying to get your opinion on home equity loans. Are they a good idea or bad idea? I just want to get your opinion on.
Yeah, they can be, Marlon. I think it really just depends on what your situation is financially and what you're planning to do with the money. So just give me a kind of a quick rundown on a few things. Do you have a spending plan or a budget? And are you living below that? Do you have anything left over at the end of the month?
We do pretty good. I was just looking at, we're getting a lot of, calls from, our mortgage company about mortgage refinancing or cash out refinance.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to call in and just
get your opinion. Sure. And I'd love to weigh in on it. I just want to try to determine a few things first. So do you typically have something left over at the end of the month, or are you guys paycheck to paycheck?
I wouldn't call it paycheck to paycheck, but not
a lot of surplus.
It was just
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. And then tell me about that current first mortgage that you have. How much do you owe, and what's the interest rate?
We owe around about $80,000, and we're looking at maybe like a 3% on the interest rate.
Okay,
a little over 3%.
Yeah. So the last thing you want to do, Marlon, is refinance that because rates right now are sitting at around 7%. And so you'd go up more than double that interest rate. And so anybody calling to get you to refi and cash out, you just want to respectfully decline that call and move along because you don't want to touch that mortgage. Now, do you have any emergency savings, any liquid savings that is available to you?
Yeah, we have like a little rainy day fund.
Okay.
You know,
how many months worth of expenses do you think you could cover out of that?
Probably looking at right now about maybe two to three,
okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's great. Excellent. I'd love for you to get that up to 3 to 6, but that's certainly a great starting point. Now let's talk about this, this home equity loan. What would you use it for?
Maybe home improvement.
Okay.
You know, just, that's mainly it. Do a few things around the house.
Okay. And are these like renovations and improvements, or is it maintenance? What kind of things are you doing?
Just renovation mainly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. And have you put together kind of a budget for that, you know, to figure out what it would take for you all to do the things you're looking to do?
Kind of like a rough budget, you know.
Okay.
Budget and work, you know. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing. If you've got some equity in your home and you're wanting to put that money back into the house, I wouldn't use it for paying off credit card debt or anything like that, any lifestyle spending. But if you're wanting to use it, to improve your property, that's what it's there for. And as long as you're being thoughtful about what it is you're actually doing, then it's actually going to be something that both you can enjoy, but that you can also get your money back out of it when you sell that, ready to sell that property. And that's more important if you think you're going to sell it in the next 5 years versus if this is more of a forever home that you might sell, 10 or 20 years down the road. It's probably less of a concern. But a home equity line of credit would be a decent way to go, especially right now as rates are going to be coming down. I think the key is to look at, what you could afford in terms of that monthly payment. The only downside to the line of credit, other than the variable rate, which is going to work in to your advantage right now, as rates are headed down, is that typically while the line is open, so you might get a 10-year line or a 20-year line, you're just paying interest only. So you're really not making any progress on paying off the debt, which is why I typically encourage folks to go, instead of a line of a credit, to go to a home equity loan. And essentially, rather than giving you an open line that you can just kind of use at your, on your wishes, you get a specific amount of money at closing. And that's all you get. And then you start paying it back, but you do it based on an amortized payback schedule, like 10 years or 15 years. So you're starting to pay principal with the first payment and you're moving toward getting it paid off. And my goal for you would be to really try to prioritize even more than the monthly payment so you could get that paid off as quick as you could, because that rate's, again, not going to be very attractive. It's going to be, with a home equity loan, a second mortgage, it's probably going to be 8% plus. And that's not ideal because that's expensive money. Now, if you can afford it, meaning you can cover the payment in your budget, you know what you're going to do, you've really thought through it, you've gotten multiple bids from contractors or whoever's going to do the work, and you believe not only are these the things you would enjoy, but these are things that you're eventually going to be able to get back out in terms of enhancing the value of the home, then I could be on board with it. I just want to make sure you've thought through all of those things. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I appreciate it. All right.
Yeah. So I think your next steps are, number one, take a hard look at that budget and see what you can afford in terms of a monthly payment. Number two, I'd go with the home equity loan, not the line of credit. That way you start paying it back on day one. Number three, I'd try to structure it such that you can pay more than the scheduled monthly payment. And then number four, be really thoughtful about what projects you do. Get multiple bids before you do anything. And, I think that'll get you going in the right direction. We appreciate your call, though. God bless you. Quickly to Texas. Phil, how can I help you?
Yes, there's so much you hear about gold and stuff now. It's like that's the wonderful cure-all for everything. And I'm still kind of skeptical. I think our trust has to be in the Lord, but you know, you don't want to be irresponsible either. Basically, I've got a couple of annuities which I have not yet annuitized, and but just wondering, you know, the, yeah. And if you do get gold, do you get coins? Is it better to get gold bars? You know.
Yeah, good question. Here's my typical approach. I'd say no more than 10%. I'd think about that in two buckets. The first is a forever allocation. I think gold coins or bars are a good approach. I'd do 5% in there. If you want to go up to 10, I'd do the second 5% with a gold ETF. So you're not taking possession and you can sell it anytime you want. God bless you, Phil. Thanks for your call.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
I believe the left is, most of the people on the left either are sympathetic with the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protesters, or they're afraid of them.
Yeah.
That's why they don't change the policies. They should be saying, if you're protesting on a college campus with something over your face, you'll be arrested. All right? My rant's over.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds' investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, I'm sure you've heard by now Donald J. Trump has been elected the 47th president of the United States. And, well, we're seeing the market really strong today. Green across the board. The Dow Jones up more than 3%. The S&P 500 nearly 2%. NASDAQ a little better than 2%. Jerry Boyer joins us to weigh in on all of this. Jerry, wow, quite the momentum last night. A pretty decisive victory, huh?
Yeah, and the political futures markets were vindicated. They were calling for not just the Trump victory, but the Republican sweep. So once again, people with skin in the game win, and professional pundits who told us we'd be weeks before we got the final results and, you know, that Harris was likely to win, the pundits are not doing too well again.
Yeah, I wonder what that does just to continue to change the game moving forward. It seems like we're seeing the game change a bit in the polls versus the futures markets, as you just referenced. Another game that's changing is the mainstream media versus, you know, a platform like X, which was, far more popular last night.
Yeah, there's really kind of a circulation of elites going on here. There's an upsetting of the sort of the ruling class, the expert class, people who are highly certified, but who have a really bad track record, the people who, you know, got us into the forever wars, the people who basically had huge COVID mandates that turned out to be very destructive to the economy, et cetera. I know people debate all these issues, but I would say that the ruling class keeps getting its credibility shredded, which I welcome. so long as there's alternatives that also are credible, right? So there's always, you know, whenever there's something revolutionary like this going on, there's always the uprising. And the uprising has largely been Christian and conservative, but we have to be responsible. We have to, we can't just have a different kind of crazy than theirs. We have to speak truth and we have to be careful about it. So, but there is something clearly going on here. It's the repudiation not just of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, it's repudiation of the ruling class by the country. Now we're going to get the opportunity, you know, that class, and I'm in Pittsburgh, and I can tell you how we went. So what I'm going to say we, meaning Pittsburgh, okay? I'm not going to tell you how I voted, but the rest of the country is now in a position where our ideas get to be implemented. So I was just on a TV program today, and they said, what's the window opening up here? The window is to show them, to show the people that we're not who they said we are, and the window is to prove that, you know, by rejecting sort of the consensus, the establishment views on everything, that the country made a wise decision, and that's only accomplished by governing wisely. Now, markets are reacting as though the new administration will govern wisely. So I think that the market moves over this week, because the futures markets indicated that Trump was going to win and markets were already trading on the base of that and the Trump trade. But obviously when it was really cleared up and made definitive, we saw markets really going up. So investors, the ultimate people with skin in the game, are basically cheering and saying that Trump's going to be good for the economy. Although there are media narratives, well, but bond yields are going up and therefore that's inflationary. I really think they're misunderstanding the data. When people sell bonds and buy stocks, that's a growth trade, right? When they sell the sure thing and take the flyer on stocks, which the dividend can vary based on earnings, that's not an inflation trade. That's a growth trade. So that's what markets are registering, higher growth for the economy. Plus, you don't see a Fed trade going on. Gold's down. The dollar's stronger. The Fed futures markets have barely budged. You're not seeing the NASDAQ go up more than the Dow, which, again, the NASDAQ tends to be more speculative, and that's a Fed trade. You're seeing small caps rallying. Well, that's a growth trade, too, because small caps are, when the economy's doing poorly, small caps are more likely to default. So in general, I think we're seeing a pretty consistent vote of confidence by markets.
Jerry, let's talk about what might be in store for the U.S. economy. I mean, we've played this out over the last few weeks, just the implications of perhaps at least keeping taxes low, if not lower, deregulation, drill, baby, drill. I mean, all of these pieces and parts. But now with the possibility that it could be the presidency and the Senate and perhaps even the House, what does that mean for, alongside, you know, the mandate of the popular vote, what does that mean for this administration and where they might go with their economic policy and how you think that might play out?
I think the administration will have a mostly pro-growth policy except the tariffs, which are anti-growth. I think the president is going to be able to get a lot of trade taxes in there for a couple of reasons. One, he won with a mandate, but two, Democrats are historically pro-protectionism, kind of more anti-trade. So they're going to really have trouble keeping a free trade coalition among the Democrats who've like barely, Bill Clinton kind of dragged them kicking and screaming to free trade, you know, with NAFTA and all the rest of it. The Democrats don't like that historically. So I think Trump will have no trouble getting votes for, you know, tariffs across the board. I think those will tend to raise prices. I don't support that. And I know people say, well, you're siding with foreigners over America. No, I'm deciding not to side with some Americans over other Americans, because when you tax manufactured goods coming from overseas, those countries then tax farm output from here. So we tax, you know, say, let's say microchips, right, computers and cars. They tax soybeans and pork. So when we do these trade tariffs, what we're really doing is saying Americans who build manufacturers' goods are more important than Americans who grow food. I don't think we ought to be doing that. I think if the government gets off our throat, if the government has taxes low and low regulation, good growth laws, we don't need trade tariffs as a thumb on the scale. We can compete against the world. Yes, they have lower wages, but we have higher productivity. But I'm not my view is not now holding sway in the Republican Party. So I did bring in those tariffs, and I think that's going to make it less of a good recovery than it otherwise would have been. But in general, I want to end on, I think the Trump economic plan is far better for the country. And I think there was elements of the Harris economic plan, cracking down on profiteering, you know, by grocery stores or whatever, that was very dangerous. That when you put price ceilings on goods, when you suppress the inflation by punishing the messenger, which is what retailers are, you cause food shortages. So I think this pun was not intended, but I think we really dodged a bullet on that one.
Yeah. Jerry, you and I have talked extensively about the incredible work you've done on something you call principled reasoning, which is really evaluating God's design for economics and wealth creation, this virtuous cycle of productivity and work and economic expansion and interest rates as a true measure of the risk in the economy and generosity, giving back to the God that created us with God over the top of everything, not the state. And you look at this in light of adherence to or violations of those principles. So how would you evaluate what you're hearing coming out of Trump through the lens of principled reasoning?
I think the Trump message is focused on productivity, growth, and innovation, whereas the Harris message was more, we'll take care of you. Opportunity society, but the opportunity was, we're going to give you money to help buy the house. We're going to give you money for college. We're going to forgive your debts. There's two ways to get out of debt. Work your way out of debt, or have the government through a wave of the wand get rid of your debt. One is biblical and the other isn't. People saw it as sort of wandering, but when Trump was talking about Elon Musk and SpaceX and that rocket ship, that was more than him just saying, wow, what a cool rocket ship. It looked like a movie. That's a different vision for America. The Musk vision is almost going back to the 60s. It's going back to exploration, building things, building actual physical things. And people have said to me, well, what, you know, Musk's there in Pittsburgh where you are, but he's a billionaire, so don't they hate him? And it's like, no, the working class, my neighbors, they're skeptical about people who make money purely in finance, because frankly, it's kind of hard to see what the value is. I'm in finance. I understand what the value is. It's capital allocation. But people who actually build things you can see are heroes to the working class. They're heroes to my neighbors. I live in a very democratic neighborhood, very blue collar. When I cross the bridge to my house, I see a big sign that it didn't say Trump, vote Trump. It said Musk. I'm seeing yard signs for Elon Musk. In Musk we trust. Now, that's a lie in God we trust. That's going a little far. But there's a vision for America that is building physical things. Our economic growth has largely been electrons for the past 30 or 40 years. And that's fine. Computer, software, that's great. Not atoms. I think the Musk economy, the Trump Musk economy, will be about supersonic jets. It'll be about satellites. It'll be about physical heavy stuff too, not just the electrons. It'll be for people who, was a friend of mine says, people who shower when they get home at the end of the day rather than shower before they go to work in the morning.
Wow. Yeah, Jerry, it makes a lot of sense, and certainly I think that's what we saw play out in the votes that were cast yesterday. Jerry, in terms of how quickly this can make its way through the economy and then translate into the markets, I mean, do you think this changes that slow growth U.S. GDP projection we were counting on for the next 10 years? How quickly could we see that come to pass in terms of accelerating that?
I think there's a confidence shift that's immediate, and there'll be more capital allocation that I think we'll see quickly. So I think there'll be the anticipation. It just cleared up a lot of uncertainty, so then business can invest. Listen, 70 million people were wiped out by abortion. There's no easy fix to that, but maybe we can get 3.5% growth rates rather than 2.5% growth rates. I don't think we see the booms of the past. You just can't eliminate 70 million people and get the same economic results. That's a generational curse for us, but you can do a lot better than we've been doing lately, and I think we will.
Jerry, grateful for you, my friend. Thanks for your time today.
And for you. God bless.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer. He's our resident economist, and we always appreciate his insightful remarks, and certainly on a day like today where we're all still reacting to and responding to and watching what's unfolding before our eyes as we now know who will be the next president here in the United States, Donald J. Trump. Well, folks, true delight to be with you today. Thank you for your calls and your questions. If you'd like to support our work here at Faith and Finance, just head to our website, faithfi.com, and click Give. Between now and the end of the year, that would be a huge blessing. Big thanks to my team today, Jim Henry, Sandy Dickinson, Devin Patrick, and everybody here at FaithFi that makes this possible. I'm Rob West. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.